Oh, no, nobody can hear me. Oh. Right, this evening's message is entitled Just Another Day. And the reading is from Luke 12. And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, "What shall I do? I've no place to store my crops." And then he said, "This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you've plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." But God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will demand it from you. Then who will get all that you've prepared for yourself?" So, here we are again. It's Sunday evening. We're here as usual. And to most people, it's just been another Sunday. In fact, a famous pop group, so famous I can't remember the name, had a song entitled Just Another Sunday. But if we're honest, most days are similar. We get up, we get dressed, we do our usual things all day, and then at night we go back to bed. But sometimes, for no apparent reason, without any warning, something happens to make a day different. Something that starts off as just another day becomes a day when our whole life and future is changed. Take, for example, Noah. There he is, minding his own business, when the Lord tells him to build an ark. So he sets to and he starts the mammoth project. It's his project, and he took great pains to make sure it was the best he could possibly do. And then one day, working as usual on his boat, just as he'd done for the last few years, it began to rain. And that was something that had never happened before. And it continued to rain, heavily and non-stop for 40 days. And this resulted in the great deluge that flooded the earth and destroyed every living thing apart from Noah and his family and the animals on the ark. And what about that day in the Sinai Desert when an 80-year-old shepherd named Moses, looking after the sheep of his father-in-law as he'd done for 40 years, came across a burning bush that wouldn't go out. And as he cautiously approached the bush, he hears the voice of the Lord God Almighty and is commissioned to a very frightening task. And as a result, he becomes the one who leads God's people out of the slavery of Egypt. Oh, how about a young Jewish teenager named David, tending his father's sheep on the hills of Judea, probably singing the praises of God as he wanders alone with his sheep for company. And suddenly he hears his father calling him to meet Samuel, the man of God. And by the sunset of that day, he's being anointed as the next king of Israel. And what about that day when a young virgin in Nazareth, going about her normal domestic duties as she does every day, is suddenly confronted by an angel who tells her she is to be the mother of the Son of God? Or what about the day that's not yet happened, the day of Christ's return? On that day, children will head off to school as usual. The evening rush hour traffic will be just as bad as it always is. Shops will open as usual. Everything just as normal as it always is. Then suddenly, in the twinkling of an eye, the sky will split. Jesus will come riding on the clouds, and God's great plan for the future will suddenly open up. Could be tomorrow. It could have even been today. But whatever it is, the day will begin just as any other day, just like any other day. In our reading this evening, we hear about a rich man who had really prospered. He was the sort of man that everything he touched seemed to flourish. His farm was so successful that he'd had to build bigger barns to store all the produce that he'd harvested. One day, just another day like many others, he looked out on all his fields and all his barns, and he said to himself, "You've got plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry." And when you think of it, he had got it made. And now, at the beginning of just another day, he was probably the happiest and most contented man on earth. But this particular day, the start of just another day, God said to him, "You fool, this very night your life will demand it from you. Then who will get all that you've prepared for yourself?" All of this began when, at the start of just another day, his life was dramatically changed. I have a tagline that goes with my signature on my emails, and it says, "Every day holds the possibility of miracles." And that's so true, for there is no such thing as just another day. Every day is different, and each day has its own potential. We never know what today will bring. There was a Sunday about 40 years ago when my daughter Diane went off to church, she usually did, and set in motion a train of events that, within a few days, led to me becoming a Christian. But not only me, almost all my family became Christians within a few months. There was an even earlier day when I went dancing at the Embassy Dance Hall in Wakefield, as I usually did, and I met a lovely young lady named Joan, and he eventually plucked up courage to ask if I could walk her home. She agreed, and that walk changed both our lives forever, because we've been walking together for the past 65 years or so. I'm sure that all of us can remember days like that. Days that started off just as an ordinary day, but some thing happened that changed our lives or changed situations dramatically. I'm sure there will be many more such days, not only for us as individuals, but also for the people around us. There will be a day, an ordinary Sunday, when we come, as we usually do, to the usual service, and we find that God has moved and brought many more people to us. There will be a day, just another day, when the Holy Spirit of God moves in such power on this town and this valley that the whole area will echo to the praises of God. It's happened before. One day, just another day, in 1904 in the Welsh Valleys, God's Spirit moved in a powerful way and the Welsh Revival began. It was a time when people walking in the streets were overcome by the power of God and fell to their knees shouting, "What must I do to be saved?" But knowing that God moves when he decides, and usually without warning, also brings us to a challenge, as it did to the man in our parable. The fact is that we never know what any day will bring. That rich man thought that he'd got plenty of time to enjoy all of his wealth. But one day, just another day, as he looked out at all that he'd achieved and looked forward to enjoying it, God told him that he would die that very day. The day before, with no inkling that tomorrow would be his last day. The day before, he also looked forward to a long and comfortable life living in luxury. But now, he's facing death, and all that he'd worked for, all he'd scrimped and saved, would be enjoyed by others. And a few days later, to the cemetery, unseen and unheard, comes the angel of God. The angel goes past all the other graves, comes to this man's memorial, and traces with his finger the single word that God chooses to summarize this man's life. Can anybody guess what that word is? Fool. "You fool," God says in Jesus' story. "Don't you know that this night your life will be required of you?" Now you may ask the question that, given the fact that Jesus was a pretty gentle person, why such strong language here? Why choose a word like fool? Well, I believe that Jesus was not just calling names here. He was making a sad but accurate diagnosis. Because for all of this man's business sense, for all of his financial and farming skills, for all of his understanding of profit and loss, there was one scenario that he forgot to account for in his planning, and that is death. It's a story of a man who was brilliant in business and in farming, but who forgot the one inevitable certainty that stares everyone in the face, and that is, we're all going to die. He was ready for everything and anything, except that. And it seems that God just stands back amazed at the folly of such a person who'd cover every base, plan for every contingency, no matter how remote, and then forget about the one inevitable certainty that is death. Maybe it would have been a good thing for him to have spent a little more time thinking about that. Maybe it would have been a good thing if he'd had a little more fear of death. The sad part about the story of this rich fool is that all indications are that this man was not ready to meet God. He was rich in possessions, but not rich toward God. As Jesus said in a different context, what good is it for a man to gain the whole world, yet forfeit his soul? Every one of us needs to make sure that we're right with God. We need to know, really know, that when we die, we will go to heaven. And it's not something that can be put off. It's something that's vital and urgent. But I don't want to dwell on the doom and gloom this evening. I don't want us to be like Private James Fraser in Dad's Army, rushing around crying, "We're doomed, we're doomed, we're doomed!" Because we're not inevitably doomed. There is hope for us. There is a way that we can know that we'll go to heaven when our time on this mortal coil is over. We can make sure that we don't suffer the fate of the man in our parable, that we don't find out when it's too late that we're not prepared for that final certainty of the end of our life. And to do this, we need to know Jesus Christ as our Saviour. The Bible is really clear about the dangers of meeting God if we're not ready for it. In the book of Romans, we read that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, Romans 3:23. And later on, the wages of sin is death, Romans 6:23. Because of our tendency to turn away from God and try to run our own lives and ignore the sins we commit in thought, word and deed, we find that our guilt creates a chasm between us and God. And that's true of all of us. For Paul tells us in that scripture that all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And that's why we need Jesus Christ. And why we need to seize the gift of forgiveness that's available to us through him. That passage in Romans goes on. The full verse said, "The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord." We can have eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now some of us are a bit uneasy about that, and we still live in the fear of death because we haven't taken the step of turning our lives over to God and coming to peace with God through Christ. God has provided a way for us to know that we'll go to heaven when we die. And rather than being concerned with making sure we're all right in this world, we need to make sure we're all right in the next. Turning to God in faith is as simple as the ABCs. A, acknowledge my need. That's to recognize that my sin has created a wall between myself and God. B, believe that Jesus makes it possible for me to be clean before God because he paid the penalty that I deserved by dying on the cross for me. And C, commit myself to follow Christ's teachings, turning from my old way of living with myself at the centre of the universe and giving God his rightful place in my life. And it's a challenge that each of us faces, for none of us know what today will bring, alone what tomorrow will bring. But we don't know if at the end of the day we will be happier or sadder, whether we'll be richer or poorer. And if we don't want to be like the man in the parable, we need to make sure that we're prepared for all eventualities. There are many who think that they'll put off making that decision, and they can get right with God when they've a little bit more time. For now, they'll just get on with life and enjoy themselves and sort out their relationship with God some other time. Well, who knows? This might be the day when God says to you that your time is up and there's no more time to make that decision. So are we sure that we're right with God? Do we know that when we die we will go to heaven? Don't leave it until it's too late. Make sure today. Each morning we need to ask ourselves, will today be just another day? What will each day bring for you and for me? We don't know. We don't know whether it will be just another day, or whether it will lead to life or death. All that we can do is try to be ready for whatever the day brings. Amen.